It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Money Matters Radio Network Afternoon Edition. Streaming live on the web at moneymattersboston.com. June Knight and Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices on your Wednesday. This is the Estate Preservation Hour. That's what this is every Wednesday. Happy
Wednesday.
Yeah.
happy hump day.
Happy Wednesday. And we got a little sound effect for you.
This thing's brutal.
How was that drive in? Did you catch any of that fog?
Yeah, you know, I did. I don't know what it is. I kept thinking it was on the inside of my car, so then I would turn up the heat and then I'd start sweating, but it wasn't doing it. It was really outside,
more
outside
than tricky when that's right.
You just really can't tell if it's like you or it's the rest of the world, you know? I have that feeling a lot.
Right. No, suddenly
is it just me?
That could be attached to a lot of different situations.
Right.
So some interesting weather out there. I think we're through half of it. I think there's a couple of days left of the really bad, you know.
I've heard, it's going to run the table and go the rest of the week.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, hey, if it's, you know, if I'm at work, that's fine. Yeah. I prefer to have a nice weekend, but, you know, can't have it all, I guess.
Oh, I know.
Started last Sunday, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. And then I think we might have gotten a little bit of a respite on Saturday, not much.
Yeah.
And Friday, mm-hmm. But before that, it was like this too.
You know what this does too, and a lot of my kids do indoor sports now, anyways. Oh. But a lot, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of those outdoor baseball, those things are all getting pushed back
now.
People will be playing like little league ball games
until July and August. I know.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yep.
I mean, time
to turn to some alternative sports.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you have a wedding plan or you have, you know, a lot of the colleges, universities have outdoor engagements.
Right.
And you've got your graduations coming. A lot of them. That happens, though.
I got bombarded last weekend with that kind of stuff. Yeah. There was a lot going on.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think Saturday is supposed to be like 60s and partly cloudy and some rain at night.
Yeah.
So I think the gradual, I don't even know what you'd call it, starts like tomorrow or Friday. We'll see a little bit of a difference.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, if I wanted this kind of weather, just, you know, we'd be broadcasting out of Seattle. You know, this isn't
Nova
the deal.
Nova Scotia
right.
has this, I think, what, 8 months out of the year?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how they take it. I really get my energy from the sun.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? I'm not like a sun worshiper or anything. I can tell from the pasty skin that I have. Tim's over there thinking, like, where's that white shirt and his hand begin? Just some sunshine.
I know. It is. It's a little crazy out there this week. So hopefully it did show 70s all of next week, whether or not we get rain or not. But, at least the temperature will go up.
Yeah, which is, you know, it makes it feel a little bit more like summer, which is really, you know, coming down the pike.
Well, like I say, we waited all winter for this.
I know. Ta-da!
Right? And we kept saying, wait till April, wait till May.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't.
Right. So it's like as anticlimactic as that. Remember that invention that was supposed to change the world a few years ago and they brought it out? It was like, you know, they're standing on this thing that was the human transporter or something like that.
Oh, yes.
And it's like, really? Okay.
It hasn't really done much.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, you have that end of the world thing in a couple of days.
Right.
And the way it looks outside, it looks like that could happen.
Yeah. Well, at least you won't see it coming, you know, which I suppose is a good thing.
All right. Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. Brendan, what are we focusing on today?
All right. We're going to talk about those Hummels, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're going to talk about tangible personal property and, you know, planning with it and just some things to think about. You know, that's the kind of stuff that people tend to neglect.
Sure.
That's the kind of stuff that someone says, oh, well, we'll just work that out later, or, oh, well, you know, my kids are good kids, and they're just going to agree as to what they're going to get. And you know, and then as soon as mom and dad pass away, it's like fisticuffs as to who's going to get the G.I. Joe collection or like.
There's always one family member, too, that maybe, you know, has that edge and causes the trouble.
Oh, I know.
There's always one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
And sometimes you're lucky if it's just one, you know.
Oh, yeah. Because, maybe a couple siblings didn't get along
right.
all of their lives.
And I think that's really what it comes down to. And we'll talk more about that. I think that's really what it comes down to. too. It's a, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with sometimes the item itself. It's what it represents, and it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take the bleak set or something like that. And it's like, oh, speaking of that, you know, Dad always liked you better, and you were supposed to, you know. So I think it really can really be like a powder keg. It's the thing that kind of sets off the war.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes, and really why it's a good topic to bring up is just that the more you can think about some of this stuff, the more we can deal with it, the less chance for that happening. And obviously the less chance for a controversy later or to, you know, have a situation where a powder keg is there, the better off the administration will go. And obviously the better off the family dynamics will stay because, you know, we've seen things, like this, the tangible personal property really become, you know, the wedge between, you know, siblings, and then they'll end up spending money, and then other things will come up, and it's just really, you know, it's the string on the sweater that you pull, and it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good topic for today. Figured, it'd be something that we could kind of sink our teeth into. Maybe a lot of people can, see some applicability to it, because we'll talk about things like automobiles and firearms and pets and all these types of things that really, you know, you don't really think about, but really you kind of need to.
Brendan, it's the stuff inside the house too, because I recently said it to my mom. You know, she's like, oh, I have my trust and I have my will and I have, you know, your kids' names are on the house and it gets divided. I said, Mom, you don't understand. I said, you need to put names. You need to take those little sticky, you know, notes and put names on things. There's there's the china cabinet. Yeah. There's the leather sofa. There's, oh, you kids can figure it out.
Yeah.
I said, no, it's not going to be that way.
So
She's like, I really don't. We don't have anything. I don't have anything. I said, yeah, they're going to be arguing over the wine glasses.
Yeah.
They're going to be arguing over the kitchen set, right?
Yeah, 50, 60, 70 years of I don't have anything. And like you do. You really do.
Packed. They're like pack rats.
Oh, yeah.
I've got stuff in the basement from you know, the 40s and 50s.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It's a lot of the reason why I can't go visit some of my clients when they get to a certain point, because I just can't fit in the house. You know, it's like, well, I can come in, but you're going to have to, like you said, you know, back the drawer, you know, the bureau out the back door.
Right.
So I can fit in the kitchen. It's really one of those things where, you know, furniture, jewelry,
everything.
Coin collection, stamp collection.
Bedroom sets.
Bedroom sets.
I mean, it goes on and on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And it's really kind of a thing where you think, and a lot of people tend to think that it's overlooked. And, you know, so I think the point of today's conversation, and the point to, you know, us having a, this discussion, but also, a handout that goes with it, and certainly feel free to call for this handout, 508-751-5010. Be happy to send that to you. This handout is going to talk and summarize some of the things we're going to discuss today, but it's really one of those things that, hey, listen, you still may, like any topic we talk about, it's, you still may want to just say, oh, your kids will work it out, but at least know what some of the issues can be.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
At that point, then you can say, well, I based that conclusion on some, you know, proper thoughts ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're doing this. This is something we've never done on the show and on Money Matters. So
it's not really, you know, and I said this to you earlier, it's not really sexy. It's not really like, wow, that's an interesting topic, but it is very useful because everyone's got stuff. And I think
everybody's got something.
Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to, is that, like, even my little kids have, like, their stuff down. Everybody has stuff, so you've got to have some stuff, unless you're a minimalist and, you know, you just throw everything away, and I'd be surprised. We don't really run into too many of those.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you know, when we go into a house, it's packed to the rafters.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like we said, there's always that one family member who maybe you did expect it from, or maybe you didn't expect it from. It was the quiet family member that never caused any.
Ahead of time. Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes the kids will come into the meetings, and it's tough to kind of see who that would be. You have your suspicions, but sometimes you're surprised, you know, and sometimes
maybe in-laws jumping into the scene, right?
Yeah. That's a lot of time what it is. In other words, like, oh, you're going to take that from him. Oh, okay, that's how it's going to go. Why don't you get in there and fight for us, and, you know, we could use that china set.
Of course.
So and honestly, it's like, do you really need another china set? But again, a lot of it's emotional, sentimental, and that's really what it comes down to is really, I think it's representative of something else. So probably the good thing to do is just step back and say, well, what exactly are we talking about when we're talking about tangible personal property? When you're looking at property in general, there's really two kinds. Of course, you have real property and personal property. So real property, I think we can kind of push off the table. We all know what that is. It's your real estate, your house, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at what personal property is, you have tangible and intangible. So intangible would be stocks, bonds, cash, that sort of thing. The other side is tangible personal property. So when we're talking about tangible personal property, we're talking about watches, furniture, photos, jewelry, cars, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, as you were saying, June, all the stuff around your house that you can you take a look around, and most of the stuff you see in your house is the stuff that we're talking about.
And you've got more of that than you think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
If you ever moved,
yeah.
You know, a few boxes, yeah. This and that, a couple of hours, no.
Those old Hawaiian shirts, you know what I mean? Like all that, the old like fur coats and stuff like this is all we're talking about.
Yeah, closet loads of stuff. All right, we'll talk about that when we get back. This is the Estate Preservation Hour. Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices, June 9th at 3:13. We'll be back on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Your lovely tree, attacked by insects. Stop them with the proven science of Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Protect and Feed. Its special dual-action formula delivers 12-month insect protection. Plus now, it provides slow-release feeding, all in one easy step. Mix and pour the no-spray formula, and your tree is shielded, roots to top, for stronger and more beautiful trees. We don't hate bugs, we just love trees. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
Precious rose, you color our world. Till insects and disease turn it upside down. So backed by over a century of Bayer science, we've created Bayer Advanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care. It's the only no-spray formula that works three ways, controlling bugs and disease as it feeds for brighter, more vibrant flowers. So count your blessings and stop to smell the scientific advances. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at moneymattersboston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Hello, welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. Tonight, Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester. And this is the Estate Preservation Hour on the Money Matters Radio Network. Every Wednesday, we're talking about a free handout on tangible... I knew I couldn't say this. Tangible personal property and estate planning.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those words that, you know, when you see it and you're talking about it, you almost want to have it broken up into like syllables you can clap out. Tangible personal property.
I think I'm
going to
let you say it.
Yeah, tangible personal property.
No, see, it rolls right off the tongue so
easily. Takes practice.
So this is a free handout, and you can get it. This is what the show is on today at 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010. Okay, Brendan, so take it away.
So, you know, we talked just before the break about what tangible personal property is. And really, you know, one of the things that people will always ask, well, how does it pass? You know, where does it go, and how does it go? When we bring up the subjects, a lot of times we'll get the response that your mother had given, which is, oh, you guys will work it out. But really what ends up happening is that when someone dies, the tangible personal property, I'll give you a classic lawyer answer as to how it passes. It really depends. And the first thing you've got to find out is, you know, what the asset is, and then, you know, who owned it when they passed. Because sometimes if the husband and wife are living there, you know, was it his, was it hers? So you kind of work that stuff out. Obviously, if it's husband and wife, it's pretty easy. It's going to probably stay in the house. The will is going to say that. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the point of, well, chances are if it was, even if it wasn't an individual's name, it has a lot to do with, you know, was there a titling on it? You know, is there, for instance, if you had, an automobile, whose name was on the title? That's pretty indicative of who owned the car. But some things it's a little bit more difficult. You know, who, if more than one individual lives in the same house and the decedent passes, you know, whose Afghan is this? Who bought this couch? I mean, so it gets kind of silly. But at some point, you kind of make that determination as to who owned it. Then you really move into, okay, well, that's what they owned. What type of asset is it? Because if it's you know, clothes, obviously, and furniture and jewelry and that sort of thing, it belonged to the individual who died in their name alone, and as we know, that's a probate asset, mm-hmm. and therefore would pass in accordance with the will. So you would typically say, well, where's the will? You take a look at it, and there usually is a section in the will that talks about what's going to happen with tangible personal property. Mm-hmm. Now, how do people typically deal with that in their wills is, you know, varies. I mean, you'll see individuals who say, I just leave it equally to my children or to my grandchildren or whoever. And you'd like to hopefully see the terminology or the phraseology substantially equal, because how are you going to make any of this stuff really equal? Yeah. It's difficult. And we'll talk about valuations and that sort of stuff in a minute. But okay. Then you'll see specifically bequeathed items. You know, so for instance, my diamond ring to my daughter Jane, and, you know, my ruby to, you know, so you'll see that specifically in the will. Obviously, that would go to those particular individuals. Or you'll see something, what we'll often use in our office is a memorandum that's used. And the will will refer to a memorandum that the individual will have in their possession typically, or somewhere in the house. So the will say, I leave my tangible personal property with respect to a memorandum outside of this will, and there'll be a list of assets that the person will have listed. Now, if there's no list, then it will be a default back to the wills to see where it goes.
Ah.
What this allows the individual to do is, when we have a client who is still unsure about where all the stuff is going to go, it allows them to create a list and then change the list without having to change the will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under current law, under current Massachusetts law, if that list exists at the time of the will and the will refers to it, that list is binding. However, if the list changes and you want to make changes to it, then you'd need to obviously change the will. So it gets a little bit difficult. So what we do is, most often under current law, we'll say the will refers to a list that the decedent can, or the individual will make out. That list is non-binding, mm-hmm. but the executor can go by it, because the executor is really looking who is supposed to get this stuff. What was the actual desire? Now, if the list is signed, and the executor can go off of it, but it's non-binding. As long as they understand that and they have an executor that they trust and a family they're going to trust, that oftentimes is the best way to work that out now, because if they want to change it, and a lot of times people change where they want their stuff to go, mm-hmm. they don't have to constantly come back and change their will.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to change, because down the road in a few months, we're going to have the Massachusetts Uniform Probate Code come in, and the law is going to change on that, such that the once non-binding list that, or memorandum that is kept outside of the will now become binding, so that it'll offer the flexibility that we once desired, and also now the bindingness that we now desire, to so that people will feel confident that their wishes in this list will be upheld.
Okay.
So that's going to be a lot more useful going ahead, and people are going to feel a lot more comfortable about making these lists going ahead. But for right now, what we would tell people is, when you sign this and you create your list, anything that you really specifically would want to give somebody, if you know your daughter is going to get the diamond, put it in the will and specifically bequeath it to your daughter. That would be binding. Okay. Again, up until that point of the new law, I would highly recommend just putting it in there, knowing full well that you want that particular individual to get that particular piece of tangible personal mm-hmm. property.
What happens to the stuff that they don't include that is in the house?
Right. So, say this list. What the will typically say when we refer to it, we'll say we'll include a list, and anything not on the list, the will say where it's going to go. So there'll be like kind of like a residuary tangible clause. So that says, okay, so anything else that's not there, they can kind of divvy it up or split it up. And I leave it up into my executor to make, you know, all the decisions as far as fairness and equality and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what you hope for is that you're dealing with some good kids or whoever, that you're splitting this stuff up, and you try to be as fair as possible. I mean, we've done things like lotteries and, you know, anything that could be fair, go around and pick, and you try to make it as fair as possible in situations like that. Now, you want to make sure everyone's on board with that, because if someone's not, you've got to think of some way to be able to do it. But what we always try to remind these kids is that, you know, if we're representing the executor or the administrator of the estate, and we have to get involved too much on just splitting this stuff up, we bill by the hour.
Ugh.
So let's kind of keep it real here, okay? You know, let's not spend hundreds of dollars trying to figure out who's going to get Linus's blanket. You know, I mean, let's, you know,
hours and hours of arguing.
Exactly.
And you were saying fisticuffs and
And that's what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to, at the end of the day, you just want to do this as cost effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next question would be, well, is there any way we can keep this out of, you know, probate, out of fighting? There are things, you know, obviously if something's jointly held, it's going to certainly go to, the other owner. But, you know, proving joint ownership is tough. Certainly if there's a certificate of title that shows joint ownership, fine. It will go to the surviving owner. But, I have seen, we don't typically do it in our office, but some lawyers will draft a tangible personal property sweep. In other words, they put all their tangible personal property into their trust, their living trust, and have that in the trust. We typically don't do that. It's just not something that we typically do. Sometimes clients will ask us to do it. We have done it in the past, but I always feel that trust is not a place for, you know, your boxer shorts. I mean, your clothing.
Right.
Trusts aren't really designed to hold that kind of stuff. So in that regard, we always try to say, well, let's see if we can just deal with it another way. But it doesn't mean you can't do that, and I have seen that, and there's nothing that necessarily wrong with it. I think it's just personal preference of the attorney or the advisor.
Sure.
So, you know, with respect to, splitting these assets up and getting them divided, avoiding probate, how it's owned, one of the things that we always have to be mindful of when we're talking to the executor or the legal representative is, you know, just because you're the executor, a lot of people tend to focus on, okay, I've got to go to get access to those bank accounts. I've got to, you know, marshal these assets. And one of the things, one of the big jobs that they have is to just safeguard the tangible personal property. So when someone dies, you know, say a 90-year-old lady passes away and she was living in a house by herself, all her stuff's inside, well, you've got to somehow secure that. How are you going to do it? You know, you've got to go check on the property. Is, you know, are the pipes going to freeze and explode and you know, destroy the... So there's a lot of responsibility in making sure that those assets are protected.
Right.
Is there someone going to break in and take it? What's in the property? Is there any real valuable paintings? Now, it's one thing if the decedent themselves... when they were alive, decide to have their Picasso hanging on the wall with, you know, leaving the door unlocked. But you, as the representative now, can get in a lot of trouble for doing that. That's not, you know, it's not your option to take care of property like that. It may have been the owner's, but that's up to the owner. You know, if they own the property, they want to handle it that way, that's fine. But you have a different standard. You have you have an obligation to protect this property. So that's
right.
Something that we always need to be mindful of. So it's ascertaining what the property is. It's safeguarding it and sometimes valuing it. Okay. And this oftentimes, comes into play. A lot of times when, as the personal representative of the estate, what your job is to distribute the assets somewhat substantially equally, or to, if there's an estate tax return that needs to be filed, valuations need to be obtained of the personal property. You can't just simply say, oh, I think that rug is worth, $1.50, and, you know, on your own. So sometimes we have to bring in appraisers to appraise what's in the property, and oftentimes we'll do that Not only if there's an estate tax return, because the government's going to want to know how much value is here, because don't forget, when we talk about that, we talked about in the past, the estate tax return being due within 9 months of date of death. And at that point, you've got to determine the value. Of course, again, the focus always tends to be on the stocks, the bonds, the cash, but the tangibles as well. So we've got to get a personal property appraiser in there to do that. And sometimes it's good to do early, because if you can get it done early, the personal property appraiser may tell you, you know, hey, you've also got, I can't value this. This is something that's really out of my league. We got to bring in a specialist here. Mm-hmm. So with respect to that, it's good to know that ahead of time, because you don't want to push too far up against that envelope of 9 months to find out you need other people in the property to schedule to get that. I mean, of course, there's extensions there, but again, it's real important to find out what's there. It's also important to find out what's there right away, because people come in to the property. Kids might come in and take what they want. And it's good to know and have an itemized list as to what was in the property as soon as possible, because if you do have those cherry-picking beneficiaries coming through, they're going to go in, you know, and think nothing of it and say, oh, you know, mom had said I could have that, you know, and just, you know, take something. That starts that snowball starting, okay? You know, that's if you don't put a stop to that, if you don't let individuals know right out of the gate that, hey, listen, we can all talk about who's going to get what, but let's be fair about it. We've got to get that list, got to get that inventory in place. I need to know what's there, because I'm responsible for it, I being the personal representative. And if anything disappears, we have a list, and we're going to, and you can't take it. You can't take it until that some of those decisions and some of those things have been done.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, so what do? Do you hire a cop? Do you have the lawyer sit there with a gun? I mean, there's got to be an answer to this, right?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So when we come back, it's the Estate Preservation Hour with Brendan King, and we'll return on the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is a Bloomberg Business Week update. I'm Mark Mills. Browsing in the shoe department at Saks Fifth Avenue was a way for Daniela Jakubowski and Amy Jane to blow off steam as analysts working at UBS. After leaving the bank in 2006 to work at different hedge funds, the duo reunited 2 years later at Harvard Business School. They reminisced about their shopping breaks in Manhattan and wondered why women have favorite go-tos for shoegazing but not jewelry. During their second year of school, they decided to explore the hole in the jewelry market and came up with the idea for BaubleBar.com, an online hub for accessible accessories. After investing $25,000 each and raising $1.1 million from investors, they launched the site last December with 250 different items. In the past 5 months, the number of BaubleBar.com customers has quadrupled, as has the amount customers spend per order. I'm Mark Mills.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now! Where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, Advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book's search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob?
Ah!
Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to moneymattersboston.com.
Welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. This is the Estate Preservation Hour with Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices. Today, he's got a free handout. It's all about, go ahead, I'm going to let you say it.
Tangible.
Yeah.
Tangible personal property. And, you know, just some thoughts and summarizing some of the topics, subtopics on the topic of tangible personal property that we're discussing today. And I think it's good just to kind of read it over. If you have some thoughts yourself, what some things and what some suggestions we make in the handout as far as maybe how you can, you know, take a detour away from some of the headaches that we're talking about today and how's the best way to maybe summarize in your documents how you'd like to express your wishes with respect to these items.
Right. And this is nice because it's nicely written. It's easy to read. This is a free handout. And it talks about dealing with tangible personal property in the estate planning process. So, you know, you've got your common examples of what people do, you know, how to handle it when things go the wrong way,
right.
Which is really important, and things to keep in mind, you know, when this unfortunate scenario happens to you. And it's all in this free handout. The number to get it, 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. Very interesting topic today. Of course,
it's pretty universal. Definitely, it's one of those things when we bring it up, sometimes can get, you know, glazed over, and clients feel pretty confident about it. But you know, it's good to address it, and if you can address it ahead of time and in any way, either, you know, appropriately documenting it, giving the people the right power, making your personal representative the right person who's going to be fair, you know, in distributing the assets. If you're saying, you know, I want to distribute these assets equally or substantially equally, you know, who's going to be the fairest to do that, you know, as far as, you know, who you're going to choose as that personal representative of the estate.
And I wanted to ask you that too. I know before the break we were talking about people showing up and taking what's theirs or what's not
right.
Theirs, whatever. And you have a list. Is there someone on hand that oversees this, that, say, polices it or, you know, sits there with a gun? Or I mean, I know I'm going a little overboard, but.
Again, the classic lawyer answer, it depends. It depends on the scenario. You know, it depends on who the personal rep is. You know, you might have a scenario where the a mother in the situation was living with their son and they're going to, you know, inherit the property. So it makes sense that they're going to be there to safeguard it. Or, you know, what's on the property. I joked about the Picasso hanging on the wall. But
yeah.
Certainly, you know, you've got to take measures to remove possibly, items like that away from, or jewelry, making sure it's safeguarded. Where are you going to hold it? You know, was there a safety deposit box? You know, what are the issues in getting into that safety deposit box to make sure that those assets are secure? Who else was on the safety deposit box? Were they truly a joint owner? Did the items in there belong to them? There's a lot of these issues come up, and really at the end of the day, the part of that personal representative's job is to guard it. Now, you always have to be cost effective here. You don't ever want to be accused of going overboard. In other words, if there's a bunch of junk in the house,
right.
you're talking about a security guard. No, you probably aren't going to hire a security guard, you know, at whatever they're going to be charging the estate to do it. Would the house be safe just locked up? What time of the year is it? Is there heat on in the house? What kind of neighborhood are we we in? What are we doing about making sure people are not going to break in?
That's true.
Is there an alarm? These are all the, you know, again, it's very specific to the scenario. It's very specific to, you know, where they lived, how they lived, what stuff was in there, mm-hmm. What can be removed, how else can you safeguard it? I mean, if it's just a bunch of furniture, you know, it's dry, and who's going to break in and take furniture? Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a flat screen TV in there, well, you know, now what are you going to do to kind of keep that, you know, out of view, or is there someplace you can put that, electronics, that sort of thing.
Does
stuff
that
can be easily
Brendan?
Stolen.
I mean, are there people out there that actually prey on
sure.
What they'll do, and again,
this is hearsay and just things that I understand, but, you know, people will just look at what our family calls the Irish sport page, you know, the obituaries. And just
that's funny. I've never heard that before.
Make sure that, you know, just say, oh, this person's gone, and it gives you the address where they lived. And, you know, so now they know that person, or they a widow. There's a lot of information. Now I just gave everyone that idea, I guess. But there's a lot of information you can pick up from the paper. As far as, or just, you know, getting online and checking out things like that, just to see, you know, what's going on. And if there's no one living there, you know, oh, this person has died and they left, you know, three children. Or this is their, they live, we're living at this place,
oh,
and they left
right,
three children.
The address.
And the children live all over the place, like in Oregon. And so now they're thinking, well, you know, there's a house right there. There's probably nobody in it. When's the funeral? No one's going to be there at the time of the funeral. And so again, you just always want to be mindful of, like, these types of things. And obviously, if there's a bunch of jewelry there, the sooner the person representative can get in the house to do an inventory, even if they don't have that appraiser or anything, they just want to write down what was there. Because even if it's not another family member comes in with the key to take it, mm-hmm. you can document it or even photograph it and just make sure it was there. It's good for insurance, too, because we also want to make sure that any insurance policy that we have is going to cover any kind of break-in, because now that the homeowner has gone, will our homeowners cover this?
That's right.
So you just want to, again, these are all little issues that come up dealing with an issue that people tend to ignore, again, the tangibles. And I really think that's part of a lot of the powder keg-esque-ness of this situation, is because these situations can get ignored, and like anything else, things that get ignored, balloons get big and they pop.
Scary.
So just want to make sure these are the types of things that a person representative is made aware of. And if they're, and obviously people aren't born to know that these are the things they're supposed to do as a personal representative, they're supposed to get that information from their attorney mm-hmm. or whoever's representing them, you know, and make judgment calls here.
Wow. But people do hire people to security or safeguard their
Yeah. I mean, again, if you want to, depending on what's in there and how cost effective it is, you know, if you can find someone who, you know, maybe one of the kids lives across the street, or maybe, you know, again, you just don't want to leave a house in the middle of the winter, you know, unheated and abandoned and you know, with all the lights off, and, you know, so you're having people might be breaking in, you might have pipes burst, you might have anything that could happen with respect to this personal property can take place. The point is, can you cover everything? No, but your job is to try to mitigate as much as you can in the most cost-effective way.
Right.
If you spend $1 million trying to protect a bunch of junk inside, then you're going to be liable on the other end for kind of going overboard on this stuff. Again, it's you've got to be reasonable about it. So, you know, that is safeguarding the assets is a very important aspect of it. We talked about a little bit about valuing it, and that kind of gets to the point of, you know, if you don't know what's in there, then you really want to get that tangible appraiser in there, because you might be dealing with things that you really don't have an idea about. And it's amazing to me, I've been in situations where I've talked to a client, and until I ask them, and I joke around, so tangible personal properties, you have a Picasso hanging on the wall, and I've had situations where people have said, actually, I've got some serious art, but they would not have brought it up. Again, gets back to that intake sheet. You know, that intake sheet that we've gone over in weeks past is that's got to be brought about at the estate planning process, because at that point, at least in my notes, I can make that note so that if the individual does die, I can say, hey, there's some stuff there. They had mentioned this. But it's always helpful if the attorney knows that ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because others may not know it, particularly if there's not a child or not a collector. You know, another one is, you know, do they have guns? You know, if you've got guns on the property and their personal representative is responsible for the safeguarding of those guns. Mm-hmm. Are they licensed to be able to deal with these things? Who's going to take them? Can they just hand the guns over? What if, and you'll have people who just write in their will, firearms. I leave my firearms to my grandson, and he's like 8. You can't just drop a bunch of firearms.
Oh.
So these are the types of things that do come up in the tangible. Again, very, very interesting and very specific, but it can happen. And again, it's important to know or tell your attorney that I do have firearms, so that if that does happen, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to safeguard that? Were they, as the owner, safeguarding in a proper way? And if they weren't, you as the person representative now have to come in and make sure that you're doing your duty by safeguarding those assets, because we have laws that deal with how firearms are stored, how they're transported, who can transport them, what licensing
big
you need
time.
To have.
Yeah.
Big time. You can get in big time trouble for that stuff.
Right. And I'm thinking, and if some of the children live out of state and you have to transport some of the stuff, that's probably
a
problem.
It gets really tricky. It gets really tricky. And they may want these things. And we have had situations where certain beneficiaries want the firearms. And if they don't have a license, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, if they don't have an ability, you can't just transfer ownership to someone who does not have a license. So they've got to go about a process themselves and get that before any kind of transfer can happen. Because if they're not licensed, those transfers are not going to happen.
Wow, amazing.
Cars is always another tricky one. Cars are always another tricky one.
I would think
and
so.
We'll talk more about that when we get back.
Awesome. This is the Estate Preservation Hour with Brendan King on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, Now, where people are asked to make snap decisions in emergency-like situations. Today's contestant is Bob, a small business owner looking to promote his business.
Hello.
We've placed him in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
He has 10 seconds to answer the question. What's the best way to find customers for your business? A, put one of those annoying inflatable people thingies that shake their stupid arms in front of your business. Or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then you really should make a decision now, Bob.
Okay, Yellow Book. I'm going to choose Yellow Book, obviously. It's a Yellow Book commercial. Would you get me out of this thing?
Correct. Yellow Book can help you reach customers online, on their mobile, or in the book. Yellowbook.com has ratings and reviews, video ads, and more. And WebReach, Yellow Book search engine advertising program, places your ad across top search engines to drive visitors to your website. When your business needs help, the moment you need it, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Sound good, Bob? Stings, doesn't it? All right, somebody fish him out of there.
Now's the time to keep ants out of your house. And each ding you hear is Amdro Ant Block doing just that, killing another ant before it ever gets inside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home and it kills ants outside so they can't come in. Ant after ant, house after house. Ant Block is a bait ants think is food, so they eat it and die, including the queen. Amdro Ant Block, the most effective home perimeter ant bait, even works on carpenter ants. Find out why Ant Block is better at baitisbetter.com.
Build your better breakfast at Subway with the new 250 breakfast combo. Get a Western egg white muffin melt with 4 grams of fat, fresh toasted and made to your order. Add a 16-ounce cup of freshly brewed Seattle's Best Coffee, all for only $2.50. Try the new Subway 250 breakfast combo today. Subway, eat fresh.
For limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards, plus tax where applicable. That content refers to Western egg white muffin melt prepared according to standard recipe.
Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. This is the Estate Preservation Hour with Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester. Brendan, how do they get in touch with you? Website, phone number, and address and all that?
It's estatepreservationlaw.com, estatepreservationlaw.com. And then our phone number is 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. And we're at 71 Elm Street in Worcester. And we also have a couple of other satellite offices, too, in Braintree, Cambridge, and Cape. But our main office is in Worcester.
All right. Today, a free handout on estate planning with tangible personal property.
You got it.
I said it.
By the end of the show, I knew you'd nail it.
But I have to say it really slow to get that word, tangible personal property. And it's all about what you got.
That's right. The stuff in your house.
The stuff inside that you might not think people would want.
Yep.
But...
get one of those, remember those guns that used to, you can make plastic your name and you can stick on and everything? That's not a bad idea either.
A label gun.
You just put label gun everything.
That'd be really funny. That's a great idea. That was, I think, before computers too, because now I think you could get have your computer do it.
Right. Exactly.
Interesting. So, we were talking about that. And of course, this free handout that you're giving out today that breaks all of this information down. Maybe you've only heard a little bit of the show. You can get your hands on this hard copy by calling 508-751-5010. And this is an interesting reading.
It is.
It affects everybody.
It is. It does affect everyone. So it has universal applicability unless you're a minimalist, I suppose. But, certainly, a lot of things we talked about, it's nice to have, so you don't have to sit there and scribble a lot of notes. It's nice to have a summary, if you will, a Cliff's Notes version.
It is.
Of what we talked about today. Just a canned one-page, easy to read, diatribe on, hey, listen, what do you do? How do you structure in your will the most effective way to say I want it equally to go to my kids? What things you should watch out for? Little information on memorandums, just a little information on how you can prevent that powder keg from going off to start the war among the children post-mortem.
I love it. Yep. So the free handout, you can get it, 508-751-5010. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left, Brendan. So where did we leave off?
Well, we were talking about, we left off with firearms. We're going to jump into cars. I want to mention one more thing with firearms. A lot of times collectors will have like antique firearms. And so another important aspect is, of a personal representative's job is to find out what's an antique. Does it fire? Because if it fires, then it's a firearm. FID cards come into, beneficiaries need to have certain licensing. It's one of those things, again, you just got to be very careful with. Now, moving over to cars, which is obviously another interesting topic, the automobile really is unique among itself in the sense that it's actually, if you're married, it's considered a joint asset. So my wife and I, car's in my name. If I die in Massachusetts, my wife can walk in with my death certificate, fill out an affidavit, some paperwork, and transfer the title to her name. Mm-hmm. Okay. The issue oftentimes becomes, well, who can drive it? Who can, own it? If I have no surviving spouse or there's no presumption of joint ownership there, the custody of the car really goes down to blood and really next of kin. And a lot of times what happens is, the concern there obviously is who can drive it and the insurability. And it really, the insurance would go to the person who has the custody of it until the registration can runs out or until the legal representative is appointed. And then at that point, the legal representative is the one who drives it, who can drive it. At some point, that title does need to be changed, but there are some unique rules there, particularly when there's a surviving spouse. So that oftentimes is pleasant to hear when you have a surviving spouse come in and say, we avoided probate. The only thing was in their name was their car. Do we have to probate that? And the answer is no. You can go in with a death certificate and fill out some paperwork at the DMV and have that transferred over to the surviving spouse.
And some people might not want the car, right?
Well, right.
Because it's an expense.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of times, and it happens a lot of times with personal property, I leave my old slippers to my nephew. Well, does he want it? I mean, why? I mean, what?
It might have meant something to you.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. And a lot of times, deals can be worked out. And obviously, if you don't want it, you can disclaim it. I don't want it, and that can go to the person who would have taken it had you predeceased, or in a situation like with tangibles in particular, if it's not that expensive, you can just accept it and then give it to the person. Mm-hmm. We've had those issues come up with cars, some old jalopy someone doesn't want, or maybe it's more of a collector's item. At that point, appraisals need to come in because the kid may not want it, but then when he finds out that the jalopy he thought he was going to get is actually a collector's piece, and again, gets back to appraisal, knowing what you have. Mm-hmm. If the kid finds out the car's worth $50,000, Because it's a, you know, model XYZ or whatever.
Like a Gran Torino in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then what you can do is say, well, yeah, you know, why don't you accept it and then sell it? I mean, you can liquidate these things as well. So, you know, sometimes it's not just stuck where it is. And that actually ends up being, you know, getting back to a point of giving the executor control, picking the right personal representative to have the ability to seek counsel or to have some common sense. A lot of times dealing with this stuff is common sense. Mm. If no one wants the stuff, well, can we sell it? Can we have a yard sale or a just, you know, put stuff online, you know, Craigslist, however you want to do it to make maybe a pot of money that you can then distribute. Again, keeping in touch with the beneficiaries is very important. Where I see the train, you know, leaving the rails on a lot of the stuff is that the beneficiaries aren't kept up in contact with, and they think something's going on, and then the suspicions come in when really nothing is sometimes going on. I mean, sometimes there is, but most of the time there's not. But keeping people informed, making sure everyone's on the same page. Again, you'll have those rogue heirs or those rogue beneficiaries, but for the most part, as long as they're kept informed and they know that, hey, the less amount of time I have to spend on this, the less I have to charge, because it's not just attorneys, because personal representatives can charge for their time too. So the more time and energy they have to deal with some rogue beneficiary fighting about this stuff, they're going to realize that their share is getting smaller, because those fees come off the top. So again, working that stuff out can be helpful. Another interesting one is pets, you know. Hey, if you've got a dog or a cat, I hate to categorize them like this, but they are tangible personal property.
Yeah.
Making sure that, you know, who you're leaving Rover to, are you leaving him to your nephew who is allergic or has a child who's allergic? Make sure, and again, a lot of times it's talking about this stuff ahead of time. It can be morbid, but knowing who's going to want your snow globe collection is important, because it may not be the person that you think does.
Or Hummels.
And
like
they're just being
earlier.
Polite, or Hummels, or whatever. They might just be being polite. And again, if you want, maybe give that stuff away ahead of time. You know, I mean, if you're not going to, if it's nothing to you anymore and you know someone wants it, or again, you brought up the issue of putting names on things. The more things can be clarified ahead of time on the tangible personal property, the less issues we run into at the end of the day. But pets are a big one, because we talked in the past, we had a show on pet trust.
We did. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a cool show. And subsequently, in the newspaper, Melissa, who had come in and talked about that, had a front page article in the Worcester T&G on pet trust. They did an article on it, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure it got a lot of attention.
It did. And it's a real neat thing that new legislation had passed on that. Now, that's obviously with respect to assets for the benefit of the pet, but the pet itself is still as an asset itself and tangible personal property. So making sure that gets to the right place and with the right people is important. I think this new pet trust legislation is going to be helpful in enabling those wishes to be carried out, because the money kind of flows and is legally bound now to what you want to have happen to that particular animal.
Sure.
So that has become a little bit easier. But again, people don't think of their pets as assets. So again, you kind of have to for a minute just to figure out where that's what's going to happen there, because that is an issue that the personal representative is going to have to deal with.
Okay.
We also talked about issues where you know, beneficiaries don't want assets, how they can go about it. You can agree on the side. You can disclaim assets. You know, can we liquidate some of these things? You know, getting along and having the beneficiaries get along and maybe make their own deal. You know, outside of court. But you can always bring something into court to adjust what is being distributed if everyone agrees as to what you want to have happen. But sometimes you can do an informal agreement outside. Again, it's always about making sure you're not spending more money than you have to. Now, obviously, you always want to be protected in any decision you make, and you want to run it by your lawyer to make sure that, as the personal representative, what you're doing is something that is not going to come back and bite them, because we as lawyers represent the personal representatives. The personal representatives represent the estate.
Sure.
Okay? They're the ones managing the estate. We're guiding them through the process. Now, sometimes we are, as lawyers, personal representatives, and in that case, obviously, it's a different role, but still the same mindset. How do we make these assets, how do we collect them, protect them, value them, get them to the right place in the right fashion without causing a lot of ruckus? Because
when that
ruckus comes up, you know, that's going to start costing a lot of money to remedy. So again, more of that stuff you can take care of ahead of time, the better.
Okay. We've got about 3 minutes left. So how do we want to...
I think what
haven't you touched upon?
I think what would be interesting to talk about is that scenario where you've got those kids who kind of come in and take the property,
yeah.
you know, because that happens a lot. And that really sometimes can start that snowball, you know, getting larger and larger, rolling down the hill. The scenario, it can be a tricky subject, especially where you're an outsider maybe coming in as the executor, or even if you're a child and you know one of the other kids had come in and taken something. You know, what they should really understand is that the executor, whether they want to or not, really has to go and get that asset.
Mm-hmm.
And any legal means necessary, and I'm dealing with a situation right now where some property was removed from an estate and I've had to kind of go back and get it.
Oh, okay.
And it's tricky, and you don't want to, like, offend anyone, or you don't want to, like, right out of the gate, because this stuff happens sometimes right away. People will go before bodies are in the ground and go to the house and take what they think was theirs or what mom would have wanted. Now, if that was really true, you can wait and make sure everyone's on the same page. The reason you did it is because you wanted to get some sort of leg up on a situation where you didn't maybe think that that was actually true. So it's actually just somewhat counterintuitive to what it is you're trying to say, doesn't really line up with what you're trying to say. The executor or the personal representative, his responsibility is to go get the asset, protect it, and bring it back by any legal means necessary. And if that person does steal the asset, well, you know, it's a crime. You know, you took something that wasn't yours. It is, and that's how far you can take it. Now, you hate to go down that road, and if you can bring it back, great.
Yeah.
But it is to be brought back at the expense of the person who took it. So if the person flew in, took something, and then flew back out, well, that person now can spend and insure, you know, and spend the money for the cost of that item to come back to where it's supposed to be safeguarded.
All right.
Gets tricky.
Interesting topic, and you can get this free handout on tangible personal property and estate planning by calling Estate Preservation Law Offices. Free hard copy for you at 508-751-5010. How to do it, what not to do, all the mistakes, and what to do.
That's right.
508-751-5010. So that'll do it for the Estate Preservation Hour, June Knight and Brendan King. Thank you so much.
Thanks, June.
We'll
see you next week.
See you next week on the Money Matters Radio Network.